Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Ali Zaini, and we are doing the Islamic, the Quranic studies class. And today we're learning about the names of Allah related, providing us with our needs. And inshallah, at the end, I'll give room for those who memorized to recite the memorization. Okay, the names of Allah related to providing us with our needs. You know, during the history of humans living on earth, we worship what provides to us. The human mind is set so that we worship, we love the one that provides, and this love could increase to the level of worship. For example, the ones who worship tree, their logic was the tree feeds us, then the tree is providing to us, then the tree is the provider, then we love and worship this tree. If some would did the sun provides them with warmth, with heat, with light, okay? And they worship the sun because of that. The sun provides to them. And some people worship cows. Why? Because the cow provide them with milk, okay? And so forth. So the human mind is set to love, and sometimes this love goes up and becomes a worship, not mortal. It becomes adoring, and then worship at the very end. So the names of Allah related to providing for us is Ar-Razzaq, Ar-Raziq, Al-Mu'ti, and Al-Ati. In some of the narrations, also Al-Ati includes Al-Ati and Al-Mu'ti. The difference between Ar-Razzaq and Ar-Raziq is that Ar-Razzaq is the nature of Allah. Ar-Raziq is the action. Because he is Razzaq, then he does rizq. Okay, provides rizq. So Ar-Razzaq and Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq is the nature. Ar-Raziq is the action that resulted from this nature. Okay, and Al-Mu'ti, the giver. So this is the provider, and the mu'ti and the ati is the giver, giver. Okay, so the giver, the action of providing, the nature of providing. Okay, so the human mind is set to love the thing that he provides for them. And this is a pyramid called Maslow pyramid. And the Maslow pyramid, basically, it's a pyramid that shows the needs of the human needs and how many people are able to achieve those needs. The very lower and the very bottom layer of the pyramid is the needs, physiological needs, like breathing, food, drink, sleep, and the bathroom business, which is number one and number two. These are the basic physiological needs, and there is no survival. Under this, there is nothing. There's no survival after without these things. And the difference in elevation is related to some people have better water, better food, better sleep, but those physiological needs are essential for human life. And then the safety need, which is also called here, it's both the physiological needs and the safety needs are the basic needs, called the basic needs. Okay, safety needs, because in addition to the physiological needs, you still will not be able to survive without safety needs. Okay, safety for your body, safety for your children, safety of your spouse, safety of housing, safety inside homes, safety outside home, etc. So this is the reason safety needs and physiological needs are together because they make the basic need, that's the very basic thing. You can still survive without safety, but it's going to be a terrifying experience. Okay? And there are people who live without safety, like during wartime, for example, World War I or whatever, World War or II, people were not safe. But they survived, but they were not safe. And that's why. But you cannot take away water from people and expect them to survive, or air. But you can take away their safety and they will still survive. But still, it's a need. But it's a second layer from the bottom, because it is not as essential as the first one, which is physiological needs. Okay? Now, the psychological needs now, which is basically the safety, including the social stuff. Like here, for example, the third layer is this friendship, male friend, female friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, father. You know, how do you establish human relationship, basically, and society relationship. Okay. So basically, to live with the society, this is belonging and love needs, intimate relationships, friends, and, you know, etc. to the end, so human relationships. It's, you know, it is good to have, but you can definitely survive if you have these two bottom layers. This is less important. Okay. Then we have the esteem needs, which is the feeling of being of accomplishments, trusting yourself, accomplishments, respect to others, respect from others. You expect to you respect and you exceed to you expect it to be respected. So you respect and get respected. You love and get loved back. You got loved. You love and you get loved. You expect. Okay. So these esteem needs, okay, both of them come, but the social needs here, okay, are not as important, is not as, you know, the esteem needs is not as important as the belonging and love needs. Esteem needs, this is like to have an accomplishment and to be something unique, encouragements, you know, these kind of things you can definitely survive without. Both of them, they are psychological needs. And then the top of the pyramid is the self-fulfillment needs, which is now being on the very, very tip here, being a CEO of Amazon is the richest person here. That's on the very, very top here. Okay, very top. He has able to achieve self-accomplishments. He has even was able to problem resolution, creative activities. These are all the needs. Now, these are the needs, and Allah provides us with these needs. This is what we need, and Allah provides us with what we need. That's why his name is the Razzaq or Razzaq, because he gives you all these needs. There is a problem, a big problem with pyramid Maslow triangle. What's the problem? It was developed by a Jew, by the way, and Jews, most of them are atheists. You know, the Jews that are not the Orthodox Jews, no, the recent Jews that you see here, especially after what they have experienced from Hitler, they became, they said if there is a God, and he's leaving us to suffer that much, then he doesn't, astaghfirullah, deserve to be worshipped. But apparently he's not there, and there's nothing there. So they it shocked them and it made them lose their faith. They're still Jews because it's a racial thing. It's a race. It's the children of Israel race. So the Jews, but they don't believe into the presence of God. So that's who the author of this triangle is, a Jew. That's why it's missing. What you probably want to tell me now, what is this pyramid missing? Do you know the word secular? You know the meaning of the word secular? You know the meaning of the word secular, right? What is it? What's a secular? Secular means no religion, has no attachment to religion. So that points out a very big problem with yes, you're right. Denoting attitudes, activities, or other things that have no religious or spiritual need basis, contrasted with the scared secular meaning. Okay. I'm so contrasted with secular. Yes, if I can see it correctly. Okay. Thank you. But can you next time say it? Instead of typing a chat, because I don't watch the chat menu. Okay. So what did you say again? Explain.
So the meaning of secular is denoting attitudes, activities, or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis. So that's what you said, that the secular is the opposite of sacred or something that's religious.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. This is what it is. So like United States here, we claim to be a secular state. Secular state, they claim that way because they say separation between the government and the church. And so they say, okay, the church has to be separate from the government. What do they call this principle? If any of you guys know, the separation between church and government, state and church and state, right? Is it that way? Separation between state and church? Am I right? Zaki, am I right? Separation between state and church? Is that
the way? I think so.
It's called that? Okay. So basically, it does not talk at all about God. So that's secular. There are so many needs, a lot of needs outside of these kind of needs. There is a spiritual needs, faith. This whole thing does not talk about faith at all. So that's one of the major problems with Maslow's pyramid, is that it doesn't talk about faith. So what's the difference between I need and I want? We can say I need water. You can say I need water, but I want ice cream. Can you give me another example? Zaki, can you give me another example?
Example of what?
I need versus I want.
So for example, you need oxygen, but you may want an iPhone.
Oh, okay. I need water, but I want 7-Up. Something like that. Okay. So So what level belongs the rich, young, powerful prince or king in the Maslow's triangle? They bring to the very top, to the tip. And what level belongs the starving person to the very bottom? Very bottom. Okay. To love and to be loved belong to what level? To love and be loved belongs to the third level here. To level number three. And separation between a church and state, that is, makes our nation secular. But it's not really secular. We think it's secular, but it's not really secular. And an example of celebrating Christmas, for example, that's a religious celebration. That's not a secular. And they don't celebrate Ramadan. They don't celebrate Eid, but celebrate Christmas. So that's a Christian tradition, which is related to the holiday, the vacations, the government holiday. They give you, they give you days off to celebrate the holidays, Christmas and New Year's Eve and Thanksgiving and things like that. But they don't give Muslims the same chance. Like they give the Christians Sunday off. Muslims don't get Friday off. So you can see this is in a Muslim country. Like when I was living in Saudi Arabia, for example, I lived there for some time. The day starts from Saturday. This is the beginning of the week. And the end of the week is Wednesday. Okay, so you work Saturday to Wednesday. Thursday and Friday are off. Thursday is off to replace Saturday. And then Friday to replace Sunday. Okay, this is in a Muslim country. And Ramadan, you get reduced working hours. So instead of working 4 hours, 8 hours, you work 4 hours. And then Eid, you have the days off, of course, the Eid days. You have 3 days off during Eid. So you can say that this is also social structures is built around religion regarding these issues. Okay. So it is secular to a level. And secular, this principle of being secular, it means that the government agencies cannot invade religious institutions to separate religious institutions from the government. And that's not happening. The government is, whether we see it or not see it, but the government has an influence on the religious institutions. Okay. Now, how is the feeling of satisfaction is more important than the amount of wealth you have? Because the things are a matter of perception. You might value something. You might love something. You might have something expensive, but you're not appreciating it. You're not perceiving it as good. It's not exciting you. It's not making you feel better. Okay. You can have $1 million and be miserable, or you can have $100,000 and be happy. So living a lavish lifestyle doesn't mean that you're happy. You might be happy with it for a year or two, but after that it becomes the norm, kind sort of, you know. People keep coming up with ideas of enjoyment, but they end up losing all fun and enjoyment that this life can offer. And they keep thinking about new ways of enjoyment and entertainment. Some of them get depressed because nothing is exciting them anymore, and they commit suicide because they have to. There's so much pain and with time happening to them they wake up in the morning, they don't want to get up from the bed because there's nothing exciting to do, nothing exciting to them to do, okay? And things like that. So, you know, the feeling satisfaction is more important than the amount of wealth that you have, that's for sure. And if you want to share something related to this with me, just go ahead. Now, the richest world girl in the world that committed suicide with Christina Onassis, she was, not she, she is, she was, when she committed suicide, she was the most rich woman or girl in the world. And she committed suicide because she felt that she goes, there's so much pain associated with her going through the day. And because of this much pain, she said, you know, what's the purpose of life if I'm going to suffer pain every day? Okay. So she took over her own life. That was caused directly by the wealth she has. Now, what money do you use? Is it the money that you have, you'll be using? If you have $100 million, this money is not all yours. The money that you spend is your money. But the money that you don't spend and save is not your money. Why? Because it will be delivered by inheritors. People are going to inherit you. They are going to inherit them. Or they are going to be wasted, or something will happen to them. And because of this thing that's happening to them, they don't become part of you. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your money is divided into three. Basically, the meaning is money is divided into three. Number one, the money you eat or you buy your clothes. So the money you use, okay? Number two, the money that you spend. Number three, the money that you keep. So he said, charity, out of all money, you use your money, the money that you use for food and dress, this is put aside. It's not your money. It's your money, but it doesn't stay with you. The charity is the true money that stays. He said that whatever he, once he had a lamb, and then Aisha, his wife, Adilana, she gave away all the meat, she just kept a thigh, okay? Or a katif, a shoulder. She kept that shoulder for her and the Prophet to eat, and she gave away all the entire thing for the poor and needy. So when Prophet Muhammad came and he said, what happened? He said, the entire goat, the meat, all the goat meat has been gone away, and what is left is this shoulder for you and me. So Prophet corrected her. He said, no, the shoulder for you and me that we're going to eat, that's not what stays. What stays is the part that we donated. We built it from charity. That's the one that stays because it's done for the face of Allah. The face of Allah is everlasting to infinity. Whatever you do for the face of Allah will give you a lasting infinity. It becomes a lasting benefit to do. The good deeds, the bad deeds, disobedience, okay, will go away. And what remains is the joy. Let's say you enjoy doing something haram. Let's say you enjoy drinking or something like that. The joy will be forgotten, and the next day this joy ends the next day. For example, if you're doing something haram, it will cause you a short-term pleasure, and then it will go away, and then you forget this joy, and you will What remains would be the bad deed. That's what remains. If you're doing a good thing, then maybe fasting is hard, but the harshness of fasting will go away. It will be forgotten. But what remains is the good deed. So if good deeds are painful, that's fine, because the painful part would be forgotten. You will forget the pain with time, but what will stay is the hasanat, the good deeds, that the good points that you score because of you have done this. Okay? Now, the stingy person lives in this life, the life of a poor, and would be judged in the day of judgment as a rich. So he lives in this life as a poor. The stingy rich is very wealthy, but he lives in this life as poor. Why? Because he doesn't spend that much, you know? He believes that the dollar, the best use of the dollar is to save it, not to spend it. So he ends up saving money for others, inheritors that will inherit him. But he lives a poor life because he haven't used his money. He used very little of his money. But in the day of judgment, he's not going to be judged as a poor. Poor people get much easier judgment in the day of judgment, much easier judgment than the poor people. I'm sorry, the rich people. So the poor, because first of all, the pillars of Islam are 5 for the rich, but 3 for the poor. For the poor, the shahada, the prayer, the fasting. Charity and going to Hajj does not apply to them. So that's 3 pillars of Islam. The rich have all 5 pillars. So they pay zakah and they go to Hajj. When Allah accounts the poor, there's not much in, there's not much out. So when auditing the record of the poor person, it's easy to edit. It's easy to, to clear it quickly. Because, probably his entire life, he got $50,000 and he was barely able to survive with them, versus the rich person. For every single penny, where did you get it from? Where did you spend it? Where you got it, where you spend it? This is somebody's audited by Allah. One of the audits will be for each penny, penny by penny. Okay? And you have eternity to answer these questions. Okay? So penny by penny, where did you get it from? How did you spend it? Where did you get it from? How did you spend it? Go, and this is comes an audit also, the time is audited second by second. How did you spend this time? Now, your youth time, as a young person, you get judged for your time twice. Once for your youth period of your life, you get judged on 2 things. On the time, how much do you use the time? I mean, what were your use of the time would be judged twice, because it would be how did you use your time and how did you use your youth. But when you get older, then you judge it only on time. How did you spend this time? Because now you're no longer a youth. So you get audited for the young time of your life twice, and for the other once. Okay? So, and you have eternity to answer all questions. And Allah stays with you until you give all the answers, okay? And then you get the judgment. Of course, the people who are dead good, Allah protects them from auditing. Allah gives them a summary judgment quickly and dismiss them to Jannah, okay? Usually, there is a hadith that I want to confirm that says that the rich people go to Jannah 500 years before the 500 years after the poor people. Because the auditing of the poor people is so simple. Not much in, not much out. Not much penny in, and they all gone out. You know, But the rich person has to answer a lot of questions about his wealth and how come he did not spend his wealth to help here. How come, how much is zakat did he pay? How much charity did he pay? How much is this? How much is that? There's a lot of questions for the rich person to answer. So the stingy person will live this life as a poor person, but in the day of judgment will be rich, judged as a rich person. Okay. Now, the second thing is that related to the providing of Allah, the provider, is about dividing the money between us. I'm sorry, dividing the shares of life between us. Okay. Allah is most accused when it comes to the dividing of shares of wealth and shares of happiness and shares of wealth, because you know happiness is also risk. Risk is not only money and wealth, also happiness is risk. Children is risk. How many children? How good is your spouse is a risk. Everything that you get is a risk, and people don't have as much as each other. Some people have more and others have less. So Allah is very accused when it comes to the dividing the shares among his people, because everybody looks to the one above and says, this better is getting more than what I got. He doesn't look to the one below and say, oh, this guy is getting less, so I'm happy. I'm satisfied because the one under me is getting less. They don't look under them. They look only above them. They say, I'm not happy. Well, how come this person has more money? How come he's more rich? He's dumb, unsmart. He doesn't have college education, and I got some college education. So how come he's richer than me? He's more rich than me. Allah is very accused when the people really get angry at Allah in their hearts, because how come you're giving this person that much, I'm not getting that much? Always look to the ones above them and curse and feel envy. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it, the shares of wealth that we get does not depend on how smart and hardworking we are. For example, you can find a boy working in Egypt for like 1 pound every day. 1 pound is 5 cents now. So he's working his day for 5 cents. The minimum wage, for example, here in the United States is $10 per hour. Over there, there's no limit. You can basically get somebody to work for free and it will still be legal. The law doesn't. So there's a kid who's getting 5 cents an hour and there is you who's getting $10 an hour. So the ratio is tremendous. And the only difference is that that kid could be smarter than you and more clever than you. But the fact that he's born in Egypt and you're born in the United States, that gives you a status of wealth that's not available to him or to her. Okay, that's why the last thing I've known from the Human Development Report, which is developed by United Nations, the last thing I've seen it, if I remember correctly, was the ratio of the rich of average income in the rich countries to the poor countries is 1 to 300 or 1 to 600. So for every $600 you make, they make only $1. In the same time, $1, $600 you make, it corresponds to $1 they make. Just by being born in a specific place, a specific country. So with Allah blessed us, give us an opportunity. People are equal. People are born with equal rights, should be born with equal rights, human rights. But people are not born with equal opportunities. No. The opportunities are different from one person to another. One is born as a prince and the other one is born to starve to death. So there is a, there is a lot that Allah have given you, a lot by just making you come to live in a country that is the most powerful country in the world in the human history. Allah has given you the flavor, the favor, so can make money, but in the to pay back, you share this money, not share it, give the rights of the poor from your money. The zakah is Allah, when Allah provides the wealth of the rich, Allah doesn't, to the rich, Allah provides the wealth of the poor people to the rich people. So the wealth, the shares of the poor people are given to the rich people. And their job is to give it back to the poor. So if there's somebody who's starving, does not mean that Allah did not send enough. No, Allah sent enough. But he's starving because there is a rich person who's getting fat, more fat. We see people who live in obscene luxury, okay, and others are starving. Some people die because they can't have a shot that's cost 5 cents in the United States, or like 50 cents, okay, and their currency, they can't afford 50 cents. So the person will die because he didn't get this immunization or get this shot, okay? So there is a lot of risk that comes, you inherit just by being born to a certain family or born in a certain country. So Allah's deciding. Allah decided to put you here and to put them there. Okay, so that is from Allah. That's Allah determined what time you're born, what race you're born into, what country, your place of birth, and this, the caste system. Who can tell me something about the caste system? Zaki, go ahead.
The caste system was a way the government, it was a way the people were categorized, and it was in the form of a triangular hierarchy with like a king at the top, and then like nobles and knights, and then people who work, and then on the bottom there were slaves and people who did the jobs that no one else wanted to do and had the most oppression.
Are you familiar with the system of like Brahmas, Shudras?
Yeah,
can you explain it?
I don't remember all of them, but I do know, like, I think in India there are different names for each step caste of the pyramid.
Yeah, each caste. Their Brahmas are the ones, this is how they do caste system in the old days. Brahmas are the created from the head of God. The guards are created from the arms of God. The workers are created from the leg of God, and slaves are created from the foot of God. And you're born into your caste, you can't change it. Now, nowadays we have a three caste system. Anybody's aware what are these three caste systems that we still have until today? Ideas? Okay, we have the caste system of being the first world, the second world, the third world. The first world we know. The second world is like Russia and China. Third world is the Middle East, and Pakistan and India and Afghanistan, and all of these are called third world. In Egypt, we always make fun and say Egypt, Egypt is classified as the third world because there is no fourth world. If there is a fourth world, Egypt will go there. That's a joke. But you're born into your caste system. However, you're given an opportunity to change your caste system by immigration. You immigrate, I immigrated from Egypt. So I was able to raise myself from the third caste, third world, into the first caste, which is first world. Okay? Now, can everybody get the same thing? No. Not everybody will be able to do that. Only selected people that were chosen by Allah to get this opportunity. Okay? At the end, it's all as a big test. If you're going to use your resources, the halal way or the haram way. Okay? It's all as a big test. Are you going to dedicate yourself and resources for the worship of Allah, or you're going to dedicate them for the disobedience of Allah? Lavish parties and all of these things that Allah's not pleased with. So basically, we still have a caste system, but people can get out of the caste and people can get deported. So they go back from first caste into second caste or third caste. They can get deported. Okay. So people will always say, Allah didn't give me enough. Allah is not appreciating me. Allah giving this person more, but I deserve better than that. Okay. I'm not getting what I deserve. All of these things are accusations against Allah. In Surah Al-Fajr, Allah saying in the Quran, Surah Al-Fajr, that فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. When a person is, Allah honors that person and gives them money, wealth, recognition, and everything, that person becomes a posting, arrogant person and says, yes, of course, Allah knows what he's doing. He knows that I deserve that. He's giving me what I deserve. And then the opposite is, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. The opposite is that when that person is tested by Allah and that person doesn't get enough money and enough wealth, then he started getting angry at Allah and says, Allah is insulting me. Allah is not giving me what I deserve. And there is a saying in our culture that indicates that, and it's very insulting to Allah, that say, God give the earrings to the people who don't have ears. Is there an equivalent? Zaki, are you aware of any equivalent saying in the United States? God gives the earrings to the ones who don't have ears? There is an equivalent.
I don't know.
Okay. So basically, astaghfirullah, they're saying Allah doesn't know what he's doing. He gives earrings to the ones who don't have ears. And he takes away earrings from the ones who have ears. Okay, so that is the accusation that they give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about that. We're going to be stopped now and we're going to be testing you on... Stop.